Wednesday, April 16th. This is the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Adam Mazur, Scott White, now Melchior. Hello, Scott now.
Adam.
Hello, Adam, and happy George Springer Day.
Yes. Seriously. Spare the introduction.
I know.
Get right to
of course.
Georgie 4G.
We're going to talk
coming
to
up.
John Hammond about it on Fantasy Baseball Today, live at noon Eastern. We're also going to look at the most traded list on that show and the good, the bad, and the ugly from today. But it's podcast time. We'll talk about Strasburg and Garrett Cole and their struggles. We'll talk about some slow starters that you were expecting a lot from. We'll grade the trade, of course. Our email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We got plenty of trades to grade. But let's start with promotion of the day, number one. Everybody's buzzing about it. Kirk Nieuwenhuis homered for the Mets yesterday in his first day up. Big stuff.
We zig, you zag.
Yeah. Oh, so I was wrong. That shouldn't be promotion of the day, number one.
Could be promotion of the day for yesterday.
That's about true. Squarespace?
Oh, yeah. That was promotion of the spring training.
Yeah, okay.
Promotion of the day, number two, is George Springer. 78% owned, joining the Houston Astros. Robbie Grossman being sent down, and starting pitcher Lucas Harrell is going to be designated for assignment. But Springer, yeah, a lot of questions about him today. Yes, you should add him.
Should you add him in 10 team leagues?
Yes.
Out there. Yes. Add him in everything.
Give me your expectations for Springer.
My expectations are, I mean, I don't think he's going to be Yasiel Puig. I don't think you can expect any call up to be quite that good, but in terms of the kind of impact he could make, I'm thinking something along the lines of Will Myers. Now, the exact distribution of numbers will probably be different. I suspect because he's always been a high strikeout guy, the batting average may not translate, at least not right away. We may see him hit 260 or so, but he has speed better than Myers and better than Puig, even, I'd say, the ability to steal bases. So, enough power and speed that you don't mind the potential hit and batting average and what damage he does with the strikeouts in a head-to-head points league.
Now, Scott, I got to totally disagree with you. You said you thought that Springer would hit about 260.
Yeah.
Yeah, I projected for 261.
No. So, total disagree.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the projections I had for him based on 440 at-bats. So like to think we could bump that up now.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
And even with that, I saw him as a 30-steal guy, 22 homers, so maybe 30-30 potential. I wouldn't, if you do buy or sell, I'm going to sell that.
I won't. I wasn't going to.
But not by much.
Cool. All right. So get George Springer. And would you drop Nelson Cruz for George Springer?
Is that a legit, like, predicament?
Well, I mean, you know, we did talk about this in our production meeting yesterday, that, you know, there may be more people playing in shallow leagues than you know, we don't play in them typically.
Right, but I think Nelson Cruz is more than 80% started. He goes in the too obvious category for me in the hitting column. So, I mean, I guess if you're going to press me for an answer, I would say if the league's that shallow, then although I'm more confident in Cruz outperforming Springer than not, I might want to gamble on the upside of Springer.
Yes, I'm doing it too. We can't both do it, though, in the same league. Everybody should have George Springer.
Would you drop Moustakas to pick up Springer?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's a 12-team mixed league question, like a legitimate thing that I would do in that format.
All right, the quote of the day. Springer's going to be good, so let's move on. Quote of the day is from Mike Matheny. We just watch how he's going, watch how Colton's going, realize that we have a very, very good option there at second base and just kind of take it day by day. That's Mike Matheny on Colton Wong and Mark Ellis. Ew! That stinks.
Well, you know, we can't say we weren't warned, because when they signed Mark Ellis, that was kind of the message that the Cardinals were sending out.
Wait, maybe I...
Mark
maybe
Ellis
I have
started
it wrong.
Yesterday and Colton Wong sat.
Yeah, but I interpret realize that we have a very, very good option there at second base as Colton Wong being the very, very good option.
It doesn't matter who he's talking about because I don't know who he's talking about, but I just wanted to bring up the...
I see it.
No,
I see it as a good thing.
But
the fact that Ellis has started, what, 1-2 games so far? That's it? I was concerned like, it's not a platoon or anything. He's just giving Ellis some at-bats so he doesn't waste away on the bench.
All right. So not worried about his playing time
I'm not.
Al?
I mean, a little. And that's why I soft-pedaled Wong in my ratings a little bit in spring training, because I think the Cardinals did hint it could be a platoon. And, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I don't think it's going to totally damage Wong's value, but it definitely makes me, you know, a little colder on him.
Wait,
than I was
okay.
before.
This is what I was confused. Because Mark Ellis just got activated
off
the DL.
Right.
And he played one game. And he just started yesterday.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was his first game of the season. And that's kind of why I brought this up.
Well, that makes sense.
So, are you more concerned now? Or let's see how it plays
out. Yeah, I mean, let's see how it plays out. I don't know why I didn't realize he was on the DL.
Well, yeah, I sort of got confused. I thought because
I
figured because sometimes these days kind of blend into the other, and I thought maybe he had been off the DL a few days.
Right.
It still concerns me.
As much as they've been batting Wong second, I think they're pretty happy with what he's doing. But yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see.
Okay, tweet of the day number one is from Andrew Jacobs. Can you discuss some top dogs today? Fielder, Adam Jones, Kinsler, Cliff Lee. Do I panic and trade these guys?
Pretty much any time you ask the question, do I panic, the answer is no. That is not a favorable response to any situation. And I would say that certainly applies here. Fielder just homered yesterday,
yeah.
So hopefully he's coming around. Lee, I mean, we've seen bad stretches from him before. It's never a big deal. Kinsler, I'm actually kind of feeling like Kinsler's off to a pretty good start. I was just looking at his numbers when I set my lineups the other day.
Yeah, it's
sort of
on
pace for like 15 homers and 30 steals. Like, he's doing fine. I don't know what you're expecting, Andrew Jacobs. Yeah.
I mean, it's tough to say he's on pace for 30 homers. For 15 homers,
yeah,
but he has one home run and two steals.
But clearly he hasn't underperformed.
No,
I mean,
he's been fine.
Just because he hasn't been a headliner the first couple weeks mm-hmm. doesn't mean he's not doing what he's supposed to do.
Are there any high-end players that you guys are worried about right now?
I've talked about Alan Craig,
yeah.
So a little worried about him. At this point of the season, though, unless there's some extenuating circumstance, in Craig's case, it's you know, concern about his foot. I can't really think of one.
All right, let me throw out two guys. One I'm sure you're not going to be worried about, but it's Robinson Cano. It was pointed out to me yesterday by Yvonne here at the office that he's got 6 home runs in basically a half a season. So no home runs yet this year, 6 home runs after the All-Star break in 2013. And I think it was 81 games as of yesterday, so it might be 82 now with 6 home runs, right around there. He's also hitting a lot of ground balls on Fangraphs yesterday. I saw his ground ball percentage is about 61% going into yesterday's game. Are you worried at all about Robinson Cano's power? He is hitting 320, but he's slugging 360.
I'm really not, because, I mean, the only thing I can think of that might concern me is the fact that he's a middle infielder and now he's beyond his 30th birthday, and that's always a little worrisome. But, I mean, I just... Kind of what alleviated my concerns is I started watching some Mariners games late in spring training, and I watched them some during spring, during the season too. They're just a team I like to watch.
Yeah, they are.
And like, just the kind of contacts he makes is so hard that I don't see how eventually he won't get back to elevating the ball, and when he does, it'll go out.
Right. I think he'll get crazy hot and hit some home runs.
Yeah.
But that's what he does. He's a guy who's put up good home run numbers, but he's not exactly a home run hitter. He's a line drive hitter. And then they just start going out. Do you want to add anything?
Not about Cano, because I'm not really worried either. But I'm not worried, but the player that's really the higher end player that's kind of sticking out to me right now is Jay Bruce, because he's just a different hitter so far. And, I mean, we're talking about just over 2 weeks. But he's not swinging the bat very often, so he's getting a lot of walks. But just being really sort of passive. And when he is hitting the ball, he's hitting a lot more grounders. Now, again, we're talking small samples, so
yeah.
That trend worries me less. But the passivity, I mean, sometimes that could be a good thing, but, you know, we're just not getting a whole lot of production.
Bruce has always been so streaky, though, that I can't really take any two-week sample to mean anything from him. I mean, obviously, when a guy's slumping, I would suspect the kind of contact he's making is not what he normally makes.
Yeah. Well, that's why you said the walk, so the passivity was more of a thing for him.
Yeah.
I got to bring up Ryan Braun, and we're going to talk about him on the show today, on the video show. He's one of the most traded players. I'm probably more worried than you guys are, but he's really honestly had like one good game this year.
One really good game.
One great game, and then like a couple good games in there, but those were his only home runs, right? And that three-homer game that came at a ballpark that he's absolutely ridiculous at. He just plays great in Philly. Hasn't stolen a base in a while. Still good batting average, but not much else. Ryan Braun, I am concerned, and I still, if you're listening, podcast leaguers, I still want to sell him.
But they're all trying to get him from cheap for you.
Yeah,
you
I'm about to sell him. I'm about selling him for you at assessment.
So let's.
So you need to be talking him up on the podcast. That will improve your chances.
He looks great out there, and it's only a matter of time.
This is just a forum for you to build the value for your players, not to inform.
Now, you said yesterday when we were on the set that in our podcast points league, where you also have Braun, I want to trade you Chris Davis for him straight up, but you said Braun and Jose Abreu for Chris Davis and something else. Do you want to figure out what that something else is?
Yeah, let's do that.
Would you take Billy Hamilton as the something else?
Oh, no, I don't think I could risk that. Let's see who else you have. I'm going to need an outfielder, especially now that Cole Calhoun's out for me. He's on the
deal,
by the way.
The other
I would take Mike Trout.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. And then my second best outfielder is Carlos Gomez, which seems too high.
I would take Carlos Gomez.
I'm sure you
for
would.
Braun right now. Straight up, Braun for Gomez.
Braun for Gomez, straight
100%
up.
I would do that. 100%. Oh, let's go. I'm going to propose it right now.
You realize how much time Adam spends on the show and podcast, like, proposing trades?
It's fun.
In theory,
what side would you rather
have? In theory,
have
I should take that, but with it in my inbox and knowing my team's 2-0 and doing great, I'm reluctant.
It's fool's gold. Your team sucks. You need
I'm
to make
reluctant.
This trade. All right, well, it's out
I'll
there.
I'll definitely do Davis and Hamilton for Braun and Abreu.
I can't do that. I can't do that.
Okay.
Where are you guys on Braun? Just real quick.
Well, clearly, I'm having a hard time trading him for Gomez. But at the same time, I do want him, so I'm not as scared as I sense the general public is. But there is reason for concern. I don't think the fact that he hasn't hit a home run since his three homer game says anything to me.
No, if he didn't have the thumb injury, I wouldn't care.
Yeah,
but I have it's a guessing game. Yeah. I have no idea if the thumb's bothering him. It could just be a cold stretch, but. I don't want to take my
Well,
chances.
He hasn't even hit that poorly since then. It just hasn't hit a home run.
Yeah.
And you just kind of summarize how I feel about it. It's a guessing game. I worry about the thumb. I'm not going to get that hung up on a 1 week or a week and a half cold snap. You know, maybe if this goes on. But nothing's really changed for me. I'm still worried.
All right. Tweet of the day number two is from Nick at Bunters Go to Hell. Very classy. Chris Davis drew his first walk yesterday. Buy or sell, Uribe and Chris Davis combined for less than 60 walks. I think they have one right now.
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head what Uribe gets if he's. I know he's not a good walk guy, but is it 20? Is it 30?
I think that's. I'll buy it.
Well, second question really here. Chris Davis with a K. But that's Chris Davis with a K, by the way.
Right.
Brewers outfielder.
Yeah.
He's homerless. So, anybody concerned about Chris Davis?
I'm not.
No, not really. He's homerless, but he's been doing some other things that, frankly, I didn't expect him to. So, yeah, they'll come around, the home runs.
I know someone asked this on Twitter. Would you drop Chris Davis for George Springer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Okay. That's much easier call than Nelson Cruz.
Oh, all right then. Tuesday's standouts. Tell me, what do you guys want to talk about? I think we have to talk about the fringy starting pitchers today because many of them are some of the most added players, like Garrett Richards and Robbie Ross and stuff like that. So who do you guys want to highlight from yesterday?
I want to highlight the Athletics bullpen situation because Sean Doolittle came in, blew a save. Jim Johnson pitched two scoreless innings after that, ended up getting the win. That's now five scoreless innings in three appearances for Johnson since he lost the job, and his replacements are falling apart, or at least Doolittle is.
Yeah, yeah. And his replacement, one of them is.
Yeah.
And it was only one bad outing.
But I'm saying if they're not going to be able to rely on that Doolittle Gregerson platoon, it makes it easier for them to go back to Jim Johnson when he's pitching as well as he seems to be. So if somebody dropped Johnson in your league and you need saves, I definitely think now is the time to make that move.
I would like to talk about Shelby Miller because I got kind of pulled off the ledge on him last night. I was I wrote in the weekly pitching column that I was sort of with some reservations saying, throw him out there as a two-star pitcher this week, particularly in, you know, if it's not too shallow of a league. But, you know, if he kind of blows this one, that he might be sittable or you know, not, I don't think it's a droppable, but definitely sittable going forward. And it's kind of interesting because since he started slumping in late August last year, he hasn't had much horizontal movement, or excuse me, no, vertical movement on his fastball. Was back.
Oh, good.
Was back in this latest start, and so were the strikeouts. The command's still not terrific.
No, he's walked three batters in all three of his starts.
Yeah.
And he walked 28 batters and 68 and two-thirds after the All-Star break last season.
But,
so.
But you could live with that start from Shelby Miller.
Six innings, three hits, one run, three walks, seven Ks. I could live with that.
You could live with that. So, and, yeah, dramatic improvement in the movement, rather.
All right, I'll go now. Kenley Jansen blew his second save. I just want to know if you guys are the least bit concerned.
I'm not as far as Kenley Jansen, the kind of pitcher he is, but I'm kind of relieved Brian Wilson is on the DL when this is going on because I don't necessarily trust Don Mattingly to stick
back
with him.
He's back.
Back today.
Well, he's got to prove his health.
Yeah. He didn't look so good before he went on the DL. But yeah, well,
that's just the hair, though.
What's that?
It's just, oh, yeah. Just the hair.
You think so?
Yeah, the beard.
You said you're worried Mattingly might have a quick trigger to make a switch?
Well, I would be worried. I mean, if Jansen keeps doing this, then everybody should be worried. But he doesn't really have an alternative right now is my point. So I think that hopefully will allow us to bury this and just forget it ever happened.
And you're discounting Chris Perez in the equation?
He's been not good at all. So
okay. All right. Who's next? Standouts from yesterday.
Robbie Ross. He is a ground ball machine.
Two straight scoreless outings for Ross, who's only 26% owned. And he is relief pitcher eligible if you play in those types of leagues. Yeah, but good stuff so far.
Yeah, great stuff. 16 ground ball outs in
the
start. That's a lot.
And this was against Seattle.
Yeah. He's been hard to figure out because he's had a high strikeout game, a high walk game, and then this game, his one good game, really, where he was neither. I think the low strikeouts, the low walks are what we can expect from him in the starting role, looking back over his minor league track record and everything. The only reason I'm interested in him, to be perfectly honest, is the spark appeal. I don't think there's enough upside for him to contribute in mixed leagues otherwise.
Al?
Yeah, I like Ross better than that. I mean, I'm not going to go, you know, overboard and say that he's a must claim or a must start. But if he can keep the walks down with the ground ball rate he's generating, he's that kind of, I'd say, automatic two-start guy in standard mixed leagues. You know, like, Charlie Morton.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Charlie Morton or Robbie Ross, because Charlie Morton's like the mixed league cutoff for me. He's the bottom guy I look to in mixed leagues, and Ross is below him for me.
And you say mixed leagues, you're pretty much thinking 12-team mixed
leagues.
Yeah,
12. Yeah.
So who would you rather have, Morton?
Yeah.
Al?
I think at this point I'll gamble on the higher upside for Ross. They may ultimately wind up being kind of the same guy. But Ross might be better with whip and a little better in strikeouts.
Well, tell me who we should prioritize, okay? I'm just going to throw a whole bunch of starting pitchers out there. Eric Johnson was great yesterday. Let me get to my notes. Yeah, it was also freezing in that game, so that might have had something to do with it. Like, yesterday was a bad day for me because I hate Eric Johnson and I hate Tim Lincecum,
and I want to let you guys both talk about them because you deserve it. So, especially with Lincecum. I mean, that's your thing.
Well, it's not like he was lights out.
No, but he another encouraging outing in terms of walks and strikeouts.
Yeah. So, only one walk all season for Lincecum. That's
I mean, really the only thing you would not like about the start was just the length of it. Five innings. And he didn't throw a ton of pitches either.
They're like 95-ish.
I mean, 95 in five innings is not efficient,
no,
especially when you're not walking, guys.
No, yeah. But that's what happens when you strike out a lot of guys. And actually, Robbie Erlin
struck out five. And it shouldn't have added up to 95 pitches. Yeah. I disagree with the fact that he didn't throw a lot of pitches. It was an inefficient outing.
But he could have gone out for a sixth.
That was the point I was making. Not that he was efficient, but that he could have lasted longer,
yeah,
I would think.
I'm surprised they took him out. Let's see. So, okay, here we go. Garrett Richards was, he's okay. Final line, not so good. Some of those runs came late. Mike Leake was good, and he's 2-1 with a 2.95 ERA, and he had a 3.37 ERA last year and 14 wins. Brandon Morrow was not good at Minnesota. Henry Mejia left with a blister, but five scoreless innings at Arizona. Phil Hughes stinks, although he had five scoreless innings, and then it fell apart. He couldn't get an out in the sixth. Robbie Erlin, I watched this game. I thought he was better than the numbers, but obviously not a great start. And then we got Eric Johnson and Robbie Ross. Let me say those names again. And Josh Beckett and Juan Nicasio. tell me, among those pitchers, who you'd be excited about. Eric Johnson, Robbie Ross, Juan Nicasio, Josh Beckett, Garrett Richards, Phil Hughes, Robbie Erlin, and Mike Leake, Henry Mejia, Brandon Morrow.
Okay, well, I've already mentioned Ross. I'm going to go right next to Nicasio, who I think I sold short in his first two starts. But I was pretty excited about Nicasio when he first came up with the Rockies a few years ago, and then he got hit in the head with the liner, the grisly injury, and it hasn't really been the same guy since. But this year, he looks like the guy that first came up, where he's getting more swings and misses, much better command, and might be, the answer to the riddle of, is there a Rockies starter that you can trust at least once in a while.
He had a very encouraging spring, too. 12 hits, 21 Ks, and 22 innings.
But you like him better than Garrett Richards and Brandon Morrow and all those guys, or is he just one who stood out?
He's one who stood out, and I wouldn't leapfrog him over Morrow at this point, even though Morrow had a bad start. I would say I like him better than Richards.
I'm encouraged by Nicasio. He's below the Morton line for me. Richards is still above it. Morrow, I was actually pretty grateful for this Morrow start because it kind of puts him out of sight, out of mind for a while. Don't have to try and dissect whether or not he's really back yet. Can kind of just let things happen, knowing he's safely going to remain on waivers. So, and help reduce some of the roster crunch that I know I'm dealing with in all my leagues. I went and looked to see where I could pick up Jesse Chavez yesterday, now that I'm a little more starting to come around on him a little. And it's not so much that, I can't convince myself to add him, but just I can't convince myself to drop somebody for him. So.
But you would drop Morrow for him, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. But fortunately, like, pretty much all my leagues where Chavez is available, Morrow's available too. So I'm saying it's not like there's this big bottlenecking event on waivers where all these guys are piling up who I should add and can't.
All right, well, any of the guys who pitched last night, did they strike you as got to get to the waiver wire and pick them up right now?
No, nobody did. Johnson is still my favorite just in terms of ability, but he was so bad his first two starts that I don't think there's going to be a mad rush for him based on this one.
Yeah, maybe Ross out of that group would be the one I'd be most likely to do that with.
All right, and did you want to say anything about Tim Lincecum, or have we covered it?
Yeah, I think we have. Cool.
All right, then. Injuries, news, and notes, part one. So George Springer's up, but Archie Bradley's staying in the minors for now, according to Fox Sports. It's a big story on that. But that just means for now. We'll see what happens. Mike Napoli dislocated his finger, but he might have dodged a bullet. He might be able to play through the soreness. Dustin Pedroia could be ready today, and Koji Uehara could be ready tomorrow, Thursday. Michael Bourne was activated, and Niger Morgan was sent to AAA. Oh, Cole Calhoun hurt his ankle, and he's on the DL. And he homered yesterday.
What a shame.
Is it fair to talk about the Nando curse?
With Josh Hamilton, Cole Calhoun, he just curses angels.
No. He's had a lot of bad luck with his guys.
Jerko. Who else?
Leonis Martin. Yeah, off to a slow start.
He's in three down.
Yeah.
All right, so let's say you wanted to pick up an outfielder. I'll give you Dexter Fowler, Marlon Byrd, Ben Revere, or Alejandro De Haza. And I want to replace Cole Calhoun. Who are you going with?
I'm going with Marlon Byrd. I think in either format.
I do like Byrd a lot. It's between him and De Haza. Yeah, I'll go Byrd.
Let's go deeper. I'll give you Dayan Viciedo, Garrett Jones, Lucas Duda, or Lorenzo Cain.
Well, you know it's Duda. That's not even fair.
Who was the second guy you said?
Viciedo, Garrett Jones, Lucas Duda, Lorenzo Cain.
Yeah, it's Duda.
Duda. Marco Scudero not close to returning for the Giants. Taijuan Walker was scratched from a rehab start with arm stiffness. We will keep an eye on that. Manny Machado could play in a minor league game this weekend. Everett Cabrera was out with a sore knee. No timetable right now, and Alexi Amarista was at shortstop last night. Matt Lindstrom is going to remain the closer for the White Sox, but the quote from Robin Ventura was like, it was almost like he was at the dentist. He couldn't have seemed less excited.
Yeah, I would have picked a different verb tense for that myself. Matt Lindstrom will remain the White Sox closer. How about is remaining the White Sox closer?
Fair enough.
Because will remain implies some future.
But he is the closer this
standing.
Moment.
Yes.
Yes.
This second.
Yes.
I picked up Webb in one league. And I think, can you drop Nate Jones? Or would you try to stash him?
No, I think there's more reason to stash Jones than ever.
Yeah, it's just the problem is you don't know when he's going to be back. And it's like, if you need a roster spot, it doesn't seem like a certainty. It's not like you're stashing.
I think it has to be a pretty deep league, or you just have a free DL spot.
Yeah,
I know some leagues don't have DL spots at all, so that makes it a little harder to justify holding on to him.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold on to him in that format. And a shallow league where there's viable current closers out there. Obviously, there's no need to do it, but anywhere where it's really a question, I think you need to stash him.
Let's look at the Dodgers real quick. D. Gordon led off. Didn't get a hit, but he stole a base. I was, worried about where he might hit if Puig and Crawford were both in the lineup, but he led off. That was good. Meanwhile, Matt Kemp sat. Do you guys feel like you have a read on the Dodgers outfield or a prediction? Someone could always get injured.
Puig, I think it's, like I said before, Puig's playing every day. The rest aren't.
I will make a case. Tell me what you think about this. Buy low on Matt Kemp, because he will either just outperform Ethier and Crawford and be a regular, or Ethier or Crawford, likely Crawford, will get hurt, and Matt Kemp will be a regular, assuming he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, no, I mean, those scenarios totally make sense to me.
Would you do that?
To buy low on Kemp? Yeah, I would, if it's a real buy low.
I don't know that they're ever going to get to a point where they can trust him to play six games a week.
Because of the health,
yeah.
I mean, certainly not in the immediate future. I mean, maybe later in the season, depending on how things shake out.
And is Charlie Blackmon sitting against lefties for Brandon Barnes? He did against Erlen and Bumgarner.
Well, yeah, Barnes or Stubbs. I mean, that was the plan, whether it was going to be him or Dickerson starting to have them platoon. So I think that's going to be a long-standing arrangement.
You think he's going to sit against every lefty?
I think the vast majority, yeah.
Has that been going on?
Lefties, I think so. Or at least two of the more recent ones.
Well, let's see. Because I don't think he's played much at all. Granted, not many games versus lefties probably, but
yeah, that might be. Because I go through, every week I go through the lineup for every team to do my hitter column.
Right.
And pick out things that look weird. I didn't notice anything weird with that, so.
He has 14 at-bats against lefties, which is more than I would have guessed.
I just looked at recently. I mean, I saw it last night. He sat against Erlen, and Barnes played. And then I looked at the last time Barnes played. He started against Bumgarner, and Blackmon was out.
Now Blackmon, as I just said, has 14 at-bats, 14 plate appearances also against lefties. That's over seven games. So what that looks like is starting against a right-hander, and then the lefty reliever comes in and he stays in the game, because you're averaging two plate appearances per game, so it doesn't look like he's starting a lot.
All right, well,
that would stink if that happens. I'm a little skeptical because I don't think Barnes is very good. But
and Blackman has a good history against lefties. I don't know if he hits them for power, but his batting average, I mean, I checked the splits, his batting average against lefties is fine. It doesn't seem like an obvious platoon situation.
You think it's a young manager just trying to be smartest guy in the room?
Maybe. I don't know. But, well, okay.
But you know what's cool about Charlie Blackman?
What's that?
Two strikeouts this year.
Oh, nice.
He's not quite Andrelton Simmons, but nobody is, actually. Simmons is the last guy in the majors.
Really?
To get a strikeout. A qualifying batter, yeah.
How about that? Let's do the Worryometer real quick, and then we'll grade some trades. Steven Strasburg is 1-2 with an ERA of 6. 9 walks, 33 strikeouts in 21 innings, but only one quality start so far in 4 starts. Worryometer 0 to 10. 10's a drop.
1.
Scott?
So that's more than 0, 1?
Oh, yeah, you can go 0, Al.
No, I mean, you know, he's had a couple bad starts, so I think I need to, you know, I can move the needle off of 0. It's weird, though. Like, I have to look at the career game log. He's had a few stinkers against the Marlins.
Terrible at Marlins Park.
Yeah.
Yep.
Of all places.
I think he has an ERA
against
of,
all
like,
the teams, because it's like
at least 6, maybe 8 at Marlins Park. It was in the recap. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Scott, give me a quick number on the worry.
1, it's, yeah, I'm not worried.
And how about Garrett Cole? 6 innings, 5 runs on 9 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks at Cincinnati. He's got a 4.74 ERA. Not great ratios either right now.
Yeah, he's been sort of uneven, and I thought maybe this would be a home road thing, but actually his splits in his young career are pretty even, so I don't think it's that. And I'm actually not particularly worried. Yeah, this is the Worryometer segment, so yeah, I'm giving Cole a 2.
I was going to say 2. I just sound like a copycat.
It's all annoying. Right. So let's grade the trade. Richard Punch, this is a podcast categories league trade that could potentially go down, so we are going to have some influence here. Legit. Here we go. Richard Punch says, me and Drew Brody have discussed, or he's actually said it grammatically correct. He said, Drew Brody and I have discussed a possible trade in our podcast league. I give. This is a 14-team deep categories league, 30-man roster. I give Cano and Trumbo. I get Miguel Cabrera.
Hmm. You know, normally I see a side getting Miguel Cabrera. I want to be on that side.
It's better than a C for me. I'll go C plus.
I didn't know this was a grading situation.
Come on, dude. It's Wednesday. We're grading the trade.
Oh, okay. So I receive. So you like the Miggy side?
I like the Miggy side.
Okay. Let's not let that get lost.
Because Cano's only hit 6 home runs. And
honestly, knowing the depth of the league and the fact Cano is, you know, legitimately a lead player and Trumbo is must start, big power sore. I think it's pretty much dead even. I say C.
I kind of agree. By the way, Steven Strasburg's career numbers at Marlins Park. 2-3 with an 8.61 ERA. It must be the crowd. They must get on him, you know? Hey, Steven. That's oh, hey, can, guy in section 200.
He could hear the individual comments.
Okay, Joe Bavaro from Escalon, California. Dear Kevin, Gene, and Feldman.
What, no Vargas?
I guess not. Please grade the trade, 12-team head-to-head points league. I give Sizemore and Hector Santiago, and Sparps do not matter in our league.
Thank you for that tidbit.
For Will Myers and Eric Stoltz, I will probably cut Stoltz and use the spot to stream starters.
A?
Yeah. That's, I mean,
you're
the Stoltz thing doesn't even matter.
Not crap in Myers?
Exactly.
Yeah. A.
Here's Al from Chicago. He's in a 12-man, 11-by-8 head-to-head categories league. I'm not going to read all the categories. You have them there for your
reference.
Giving up. Jose Abreu, Jose Quintana, and
Jose
Michael Morris. And getting Goldschmidt, Reyes.
Jose.
And Daniel. Yeah, Jose Reyes. And Daniel Murphy. So giving up Jose Abreu, Quintana, and Morris. Getting Goldschmidt, Reyes, and Daniel Murphy.
Well, It's not quite as much of a landslide as the Will Myers trade, but it's good. Getting Goldschmidt, I'll go B plus. You said B?
I did say B.
Yeah.
From Aaron, 18-team mixed roto league. I give away Angel Pagan and Clay Buchholz. I get Carlos Beltran and Jared Cozart, 18-team roto league.
That is a D.
Hmm. Because of the depth of the league, I'm assuming.
Depth of the league. So Pagan's got some nice value there, and it's roto too.
Wait.
So I don't know that Pagan's really that much of a downgrade from Beltran in that format. And Cozart is definitely a big downgrade from Buchholz.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I'm kind of liking Cozart this year.
I can see the potential.
I will say I like Cozart last start.
I go D+. Because it's a deep league, even though you're getting the better player in Beltran, it's not worth it.
Let's see. From Michael in Atlanta, I gave Braun and Chris Tillman. I got Adam Jones and Jordan Zimmermann. That's an A plus.
I was gonna say A minus.
I mean, either way.
You win.
I'll go B plus.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a slam dunk.
No, it's not. If I saw that trade, it wouldn't like compel me to complain to my commissioner that somebody's making this trade. It's a pretty even trade.
It's not.
I like the Jones side more because I'm worried about Braun, but it's...
But the upgrade from Tillman to Zimmermann.
Yeah, it's an upgrade.
Like, you might be trading even outfielders, but
it's an upgrade, but it's like a one tier upgrade.
According to you, yeah. From Zach, I get Cano and Gallardo. Ooh, I like this trade. This is interesting. I get Cano and Gallardo. I give up Pedroia and Greinke. 12-team daily points league. Getting Cano and Gallardo for Pedroia and Greinke.
That's interesting. I'm also just confused because he put the get part first. We should get the get part second.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm good.
I think it's an A minus, actually, because it's a shallower league. Getting the best player in Cano and there's some concerns with Pedroia's wrist now, so it's even more of an upgrade.
Good point.
I'm going B minus.
Risto in ATX. Where is that?
I think it's Austin.
Oh yeah, thank you. I give Braun and Ace Ventura, who was very good last night again.
Yes, he was.
Giving up Braun and Ventura, getting Beltre and Julio Teheran.
B minus.
What did I give the other Braun trade? B plus?
Yeah.
This one's about on the same level, so B plus.
Okay. And James Hunter says, give up Babe Ruth, get $100,000. Hashtag Boston Red Sox.
F. Sorry.
Yeah, I see that one not paying off in the future. I like it for the Ruth side, though. We talked about the fringy starting pitchers, so let's go to three up, three down, and the rotation. Three up number one. All right, I'll make this quick here. Neil Walker homered again. He's got five homers, and he's the number four second baseman in fantasy. He's only 28 years old. Could Neil Walker still break out and be better than we've ever seen him?
Sure he could. Yeah, actually kind of looks like he could be a breakout candidate. And you mentioned in the notes here that he set a career high in home runs last season.
With 16.
I don't know. 26, I'm still thinking there's a chance for a breakout. 28's getting up there. But it's worth noting that he's missed enough time over the last few years that he probably would have had a 20-homer season by now if he'd been playing every day. So, you know, maybe this is a step on the way to his first one.
Walker or Bonifacio?
I go Bonifacio.
I would too.
Walker or who else did I write in the notes?
Dozier and Rendon, but after we took him over Bonifacio, it's probably.
Lorenzo Cain is 25% owned. He's off to a great start. 342 batting average, homerless with four RBIs, six runs, two steals. Anybody buying this from Lorenzo Cain?
Nah. And I do own him in the league. But yeah, I'm not really enthused.
He's pretty old, too.
Cain. Who else?
Well, we've established that.
Cain or Ozuna?
I go Ozuna.
I will go Cain. It's very close.
Cain or Blackman?
Blackman.
Yeah, Blackman.
Johnny Peralta. He's only batting 182, but he's got four dingers. and he doubled and homered yesterday. So he's 66% owned. Do you think Johnny Peralta is appropriately
owned? Can
you
say dingers again the same way?
Dingers.
Yeah.
You think Johnny Peralta is appropriately owned, 66% of leagues?
You know, I don't know what this says for PEDs because he wasn't a power guy the last 2 years. When he got suspended last year, he was hitting for a high average, but not really the home run we'd seen from him in previous years. Hasn't been a 20-homer guy since 2011. So I don't. I think he's appropriately owned, I guess I'm saying, but I don't know exactly where he's going to land all the different forms of him we've seen.
Who was the Marlins middle infielder that was hitting all those home runs early in the season?
Last year
or 2 years ago?
Well, Infante.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Who you're thinking of.
Infante, yeah. Right? He's hitting a bunch of home runs early and then just stopped.
He's got half the Royals home runs this year.
Peralta.
He's won?
Yeah.
Peralta at least has a history of hitting for power, so I'm not going to make quite that comparison.
Although an uneven one.
Uneven.
You said whichever version of him shows up. He's kind of taken the Aubrey Huff mantle of just confusing us beyond recognition.
Peralta or D. Gordon?
Gordon.
Peralta or Starlin Castro?
Castro.
Chris Owings?
Yeah, Owings.
I'll go Peralta there.
Three down. Tell me if you're worried about Leonis Martin or Billy Butler. They are numbers one and two in three down.
I don't really worry about Butler from the batting average perspective, which is the main way he's struggling right now. I mean, he had that one power season 2 years ago, and I think we're all a little unsure whether or not he can get back to that. It's not looking good right now, but he's always been a good source of batting average, even when he's gotten off to slow starts in the past, gets up there in the 290, 300, 310 range. And so I don't have any reason to suspect he won't do that again. Martin is a little more worrisome just because he hasn't really done anything all that noteworthy in the majors yet except play good defense.
Yeah, he can steal bases, obviously, but I'm concerned he has one run scored this year, and that was part of the reason why we might not have liked him, or we might have downgraded him, because he was going to bat in the bottom of the order. Now, the Rangers aren't hitting, so that'll change a little bit, but
I do think that will change. Yeah. I'm not really worried about Martin. I do think he'll get his steals. I think the batting average is not bad now. I think it'll probably get better. And I still hold out some hope for some mild power. And I mean, I'm talking about like 10 home runs from him, but he'll rise above this.
And Alejandro Deaza is 52% owned. He's 0 for 3 yesterday, batting 167. Three home runs, but they all came early. Two came in one game. But I still feel like he's under-owned and maybe a little underappreciated at 52% owned.
Yeah, but not by much. I think he's like a 60 to 65% guy at best.
Okay.
So, yeah, could stand to have a few more owners.
To the rotation, Dan Straley was horrible yesterday. Are you worried?
I'm not.
Okay.
First two starts are really good.
Yordano Ventura was awesome yesterday. Should we sell high?
No, although... Yeah, 7 strikeouts in 7 innings against the Astros actually is a disappointment to me.
Yeah.
But I can't really complain.
Jake Peavy. We talked about Shelby Miller, so we'll skip to Jake Peavy. 1.93 ERA. Good start so far, although he does have back-to-back 4-walk games. Should we sell high on Jake Peavy?
I think that's a good idea, just because you mentioned here he's got 10 walks in 18 two-thirds innings. That worries me a little bit. And just last year, just kind of meh stats across the board. I just feel like if he's got anything, the low ERA right now, that might attract greater value than he deserves.
And the fact he's Jake Peavy, you kind of threw me for a loop with the trade high question, because I'm pretty encouraged by Jake, the start he's off to, and feeling like, as a guy I know I drafted like very late in a couple leagues, I'm happy that I drafted him, but if his performance has made him somebody that people will really flock to on the trading block, then it is worth pursuing, because, like Al said, there's been inconsistency over the last few years and obviously an extensive injury history too.
Deep leagues, Are Aaron Hicks or Tom Kohler underowned at 10% ownership for Hicks, who's batting a robust 186, but is walking a ton? He walks like every game. And Tom Kohler is 6% owned, and he's got a 189 ERA.
Yeah, I think both are a little underowned. Not so underowned that in a mixed league I would even think about them, but just knowing how many NL and AL-only leagues we have people playing in, I think they're worth owning in maybe all those formats. I actually think Kohler's a little more interesting to me right now than Hicks.
Would you own either of them in our 14-team?
No.
30-minute? Okay,
no.
Because I'm starting Aaron Hicks, so that's awesome. So thanks for that. Gosh, man, that is just one terrible waiver wire and a very competitive league. Good job, podcast listeners. All right, in the bullpen, we talked about Sean Doolittle and Kenley Jansen. Jim Henderson gave up 3 earned runs in an inning yesterday against St. Louis, so that's not good. Mm-mm. Unless you own K-Rod. But Trey Hawkins has been good so far. Rex Brothers hasn't been good. Hawkins is 37% owned. He has 3 saves and a 193 ERA.
Yeah, that's not looking like such a quick transition anymore. Brothers is walking everybody in sight. I think they're giving him a couple days off to try and get him settled.
Mm-hmm.
But he needs to win people back over now, when before it was just a case of Hawkins having to blow it.
And Sergio Santos struggled yesterday, but non-save situation, and the first time he pitched in 4 days, and he has 11 strikeouts and 5 1/3. Any chance he stays the closer?
A chance, sure, but I think not a great one.
Oh, you want to do the hot corner section here?
Of course.
Let's do it real quick. The hot corner. These are third basemen who are kind of killing it right now. And they're all owned in, you know, different types of leagues. Like all leagues, maybe 10-team leagues. Then like, oh, sorry, never mind. Forget it. I just hot corner. Let's go. Aramis Ramirez. He went 1-for-4 with a homer. He's batting .351 with 2 home runs and 12 RBI. And he is the number 5 third baseman in points, number 2 in roto. Top 10. What do you think?
I can't put him there, because you expect him to get injured at some point and miss some time, but people forget just how good he was once he got over the knee issue the last couple months last year. He got back to being the Aramis Ramirez must-start type of player. And I think while he's healthy, he's about that, yeah.
Okay. next up on the list is Trevor Plouffe. Trevor Plouffe is 74% owned. Is that too high? He homered yesterday,
yes,
first of the year.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I think he's like 60% at best.
He's 27. Is he breaking out?
He could, but a breakout for him, I think, still is hitting well below 300. And you know, maybe it means he hits 25 to 30 home runs.
Juan Uribe is 24% owned. He's batting .379 with 2 homers, 6 RBI, 8 doubles, no walks, 14 strikeouts, and he's 35 years old. Is Juan Uribe under-owned at 24%?
I don't really think so. I think there's been so much blah from him in his career that, like, among everyday third basemen, he's probably last on my list.
So you don't think so?
I don't think he's under-owned, yes.
If we could just get an infinite loop of Scott going blah and you going dingers, I would be mesmerized by that for hours.
Go.
Blah.
Dingers. All right, Kevin Kuzminoff is owned in 3% of leagues, and he's killing it.
Yeah.
Batting .450. Does anyone care?
I think he's Plouffian. Like, in a very best-case scenario, he could be Trevor Plouffe with that 15 to 20 homer potential. Is it okay that I say that for Plouffe, Al? You took exception to that.
Yeah, I continue to take exception.
Before.
But you know, it's a free country, First Amendment, all that. So if you want to say it, go ahead.
Yeah, with a exciting batting.
Best case scenario for most owners would be Kuzminoff's not playing in a week because Beltre's back.
That's really what's most likely to happen, yes.
And injuries, news, and notes part 2. Jose Reyes should be back Friday. Adam Lind's day-to-day with a back issue. Curtis Granderson's day-to-day. Bryce Harper was in the lineup yesterday. Shane Victorino scheduled to begin a rehab assignment this week. Adam Jones day-to-day with an illness. Aww. Denard Span could play at minor league rehab games this week. Toronto called up Munenori Kawasaki. That is promotion of the day number 3. And he went 2-for-5 and batted 2nd in Minnesota. But he's an AL-only or deep league guy. AJ Burnett has a hernia. He's going to pitch through it rather than be sidelined 6 to 8 weeks for surgery. Chad Billingsley had another setback in his recovery from Tommy John.
and Josh Johnson might need Tommy John surgery, so that stinks for those two guys. We'll finish it off with about 3 minutes left with Grade the Trade Part 2. Adam Simon says, 12-team Dynasty League, touch your toes. Just kidding. 12-team Dynasty League, I traded Brett Laurie and Matt Adams and a first-round minor league pick for Matt Cain. Hashtag dolt.
No. Hashtag do it.
Oh. Really?
Who's the dolt now? I thought he was saying he hated the trade.
That's why capital I always needs the line above and below.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's one of the funniest things. Hashtag do it. I don't know that I would do that. That looks like a terrible trade. That's why I thought he was saying dolt.
Yeah, I mean,
giving up Laurie Adams in a first-round minor league pick in a dynasty league for Cain.
The thing about assessing dynasty league trades is, like, we don't understand really what a first-round minor league pick is worth unless we know all the rules of the league.
So if you could send us your constitutions. Yeah.
We don't know the keeper value of Laurie and Adams.
Can't believe I did that. Wow.
I'm inclined to say if Lowry and Adams are cheap keepers and Kane's an expensive one, I don't like the trade.
Josh Kutzner says David Wright and Dominic Brown for Starling Marte and Brandon Belt. Giving up Wright and Brown for, oh, God, no, for Marte and Belt.
Well, it sounds like you answered the question for us. Yeah. Oh, we still need grades.
I don't read these beforehand, so sometimes I just react.
D.
Yeah, D.
Now, if you're getting Wright and Brown, good job.
D for Dolt.
David Blair says, I traded Justin Smoke and received Starlin Castro in a 14-team head-to-head categories league. Very pleased.
I'm pleased for him.
Yeah.
B plus.
Kind of like a delayed sell high there. It worked. So B plus, yeah.
CWR, I give up Alex Wood. I get Garrett Richards. Ugh. I added the ugh.
Yeah. No, that's not good.
D.
D again, yep.
Adam Yan or Yan. My Garrett Cole for his Alex Rios 8-team head-to-head points league.
A. I almost went with a plus there, but hold it back.
I'm going A minus.
Hold it back.
A minus. All right. Scott Andrews says Irvin Santana and Adam Eaton for Matt Adams in a 10-team categories mixed league.
Which is he getting?
I'm thinking he's getting Matt Adams and he's giving up Irvin Santana and Adam Eaton in a 10-team league.
I'm giving that a B. Because of the shallowness and the category-ness.
Yeah, I don't know that Adams is so much more high-end than Eaton, though.
I think he is in a categories league.
I don't know.
I like
I don't
Adams
like it.
Better in my,
well,
okay.
I'll make it even, C.
Corey Myers giving up Cespedes, getting Alan Craig and Matt Lindstrom in an 11-team roto league. Mm.
Giving Cespedes, getting Craig and Lindstrom. Well, I like it. How much? I give it a B minus.
I was sitting on my B minus here.
Yeah.
Derek Nash, grade the trade. I get Starling Marte and Iwakuma for James Shields, Matt Adams, and Adam Eaton in a 12-team roto league. Fail. I'm sorry, I'm failing you.
Yeah, it's not a fail. I think it's a.
It's a fail.
I was going to go
the third player, giving up the third player in addition to giving up.
Yeah.
Those are all good players.
Better players. Well, since it's a roto league,
I'll go D.
I'll go D minus. I think Al and I were pretty close there.
It's not an F, but Derek comes from a family where they expect A's. So
yeah,
it's basically a fail for him.
I think Al and I showed with how close we were that if one of us was the teacher who had to take an extended leave and the other subbed for him, there wouldn't be like this shock factor for all the kids in the classroom because they'd be graded on the same scale.
This is good to know.
Yeah. Remember we used to have substitute teachers with grade trade last year?
Yeah.
Those were the days.
I was the sub, I think.
Well, you're subbing out tomorrow for Herc, so we'll talk to you on Friday and talk to everybody else on Fantasy Baseball Today live at noon Eastern. And on demand on the website, and tomorrow on the podcast. See you later.